going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
What's up, everybody? I'm Najee Adams.
And I'm Hunter Jacobs.
And you're listening to the Hoop Bowl Nets podcast. What's up, everybody? We are back for another episode, another very special episode. Before we get into all of that, make sure you subscribe to the Hoop Ball Nets podcast on Apple Podcasts. Leave a 5-star rating and review because all reviews will get read on the pod. You can find us on Spotify as well. Download the pod, share it with your friends, family, all that good stuff. You can find me on Twitter at Najee Adams _. Hunter is at Hunter _JKR on Twitter. The podcast Twitter is at Hoop Ball Nets. Tap in with us. We live tweet all the Nets games. It should be a super fun time, so make sure you go check that out. But today we have a very special guest on the pod, Will Hanley, aka Nets as depicted by SpongeBob. What's up, bro? How you doing today?
What is going on, guys? The Hoop Bowl Nets podcast. I'm hype. I'm excited. It is a good time to be a Nets fan. So I'm hype. I'm excited, guys. Thank you for having me.
No, thank you for taking the time to be on, bro. Yeah, we might as well just dive into it. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Have you always been a Nets fan? How'd you become a Nets fan?
Yeah, so it's funny. So I've definitely always been a Nets fan. So I grew up on Long Island, right? So when growing up in my house, though, basketball was never really on, right? So it was always football in the fall and the winter, and then baseball in the spring and the summer. So for me, I grew up sort of in the fandom of the Giants and the Yankees. That was something that wasn't really up to me. But for basketball was kind of something that I sort of a love and a passion, obviously, that I really found on my own. And so when it came time to, sort of pick a team, that was right around the time where the Nets were, starting to get good, acquiring Deron Williams, Joe Johnson, Brooke Lopez was really starting to come into his role. They were talks of moving to New York, and it was really starting to become a possibility. So I said, all right, I think I'm gonna hop on this Nets bandwagon, right? And we got those shirts, right? They're like fans since day one, I don't know if you guys remember those. Yeah, and so I was absolutely one of those guys. So I've been there ever since, and it's been one heck of a roller coaster, but I'm excited.
This is definitely one of the most exciting times to be a Nets fan, period. So how'd you get connected with like Nets Daily and all that?
Yeah, so really Nets Daily was, they reached out to me. It was after I think I made like a little post about like what it's like to be on Nets Twitter, and it was like a little SpongeBob post, and Nets Daily was like featured in it. I made him like either like Squidward or Mr. Krabs or something like that. And that was really like what blew up for me. And so when everyone saw that in the Nets Daily, I remember, so it's funny, I posted that at like 11 o'clock at night, and then I posted it and my account wasn't really big at the point. So I just went to sleep. I'm like, I'll wake up maybe, 15 retweets, I'll be happy. And then I wake up and like people are DMing me, and it has like, hundreds of likes and like almost like 100 retweets. And then I see Nets Daily quoted it and was like, I want this guy doing this for us. And I was like, whoa, like, hang on. You know what I mean? Like something like that. And then I think he DM'd me like either later that day or also like over the night. And he was like, I'm serious when I say that, like, if you want to do this for Nets Daily, like by all means, like we'd be happy to have you. So like for me, for someone who's like been with Nets Twitter for a long time, you know, before this. That's like, you know what I mean? I felt like I was getting like the stamp golden of ticket approval. American Idol. Oh my God. Like, you know what I mean? I was like, holy, like, I can't believe this is happening. So I reached out to them, and then, you know, and they graciously accepted me. So I've been part of that little family ever since.
That's crazy.
Now asking the SpongeBob specific questions. Was that like one of your favorite shows growing up? It was definitely one of mine.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's definitely some strategic aspect to it, right? Like I'll tell you what. So the first thing that I did was The Office, right? So I did Nets Office, and I did that on my personal one. And that was just, I would do like a clip from The Office after every game. And that one had sort of some success. But then I really wanted to make it its own account just so people could like find it more easily. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, all right, well, what am I going to stick with The Office? Because people love The Office, but I'm like, but I
people
feel like
love The Office.
and I listen, I love The Office too. I was like, but I feel like SpongeBob is like, for as loved as The Office is, SpongeBob is like a cultural staple, right?
Oh,
like
it's on a different level.
Yeah. It's like universally beloved. So I was like, and there's like memes and stuff too. Like, you know, SpongeBob's imprint on the internet is like very well documented. So I was like, all right, I think I'm going to stick with SpongeBob. And honestly, you know, I thought maybe I'd run out of material, but you know, with a team with Kyrie, KD and Harden, you never run out of material is what I'm learning.
Yeah. I'm going to say, how do you know exactly what clips to use? Like, do you have the episodes memorized? Is your camera loaded with the clips? Like, how do you find specific stuff for the event?
Yeah, so it's funny. So I would say that's the part where, I mean, I don't know, maybe my brain works weird, but like I've always been pretty good at like that stuff, like referential stuff and things like that. So there's definitely like that part of it where I like think of it and I'm like, oh, you know, it would be funny, like this clip. And I think I got a lot of that just from like live tweeting things, you know what I mean? And like just like memes like on the spot. And but honestly, like it's honestly like a game-to-game basis, right? So like the first thing that we did was you know, Kevin Durant makes his debut versus the Warriors, right? And then the clip we use is the guy's like, yeah, Kevin's back, you know, that one. That one I've had in my pocket, you know what I mean, for almost like a 2 years, you know. So that one was easy. I just had to make sure that they won. But like last night I must have went through like 15 clips, like even in like those last 2 minutes, because I'm like, oh, this is going to be a good win. Oh, actually, it's going to be an ugly win.
And things just turned around.
Actually, it's going to be a terrible loss. You know, so I didn't know what was going to happen. So I went through a lot of clips yesterday. But yeah, honestly, it really depends on, you know, who we're playing. And sometimes, you know, like for instance, right, like when we played the Grizzlies, I knew I wanted to do like the Sea Bear one just because that makes sense. But then, like, if you play, but then, like, some of their other games, I'm like, I gotta see what happens, you know?
Yeah.
Do you have, like, a favorite clip, like a go to?
Ooh, that's a. So it's funny. So I definitely like hey, look, everybody, Kevin's back. That was one that I definitely, like, I couldn't wait to use that clip. I will say one of my favorite ones, which was one that I didn't really come up with, someone DM'd me this idea. But it's like Squidward on the phone and Squilliam's like, we're going to play the bubble bowl. And he's like, the bubble bowl, the bubble bowl, you know? And so then someone was like, you should say this with like the bubble nets. So I think like when they're in the bubble, and I was like, when Toronto has to play the bubble nets round one, it was like Kyle Lowry on the phone. He's like, the bubble bowl, you know? Like, something like that. That clip's really funny. And I've used that a couple times just because it fits so well. But yeah, definitely those.
I was just about to ask you, like, do you try not to use the same one twice? Or are you just like, as long as it fits, I'm down?
So it's funny, right? Because people have like commented on, and they're like, wow, bro, like you never use the same clip twice. And I'm sitting here who like, and I've definitely used the same clip twice. And I'm like, yeah, bro, you know me, like always got to keep it fresh. But no, I definitely have used stuff before, even in like the threads, like from last season to this season, because, you know, there's some stuff where it's just like, you know, it's cut and dry, you know?
Yes. Some of them are too good not to have to use again. Like it will fit too perfectly for multiple events.
No, 110%. I will say though, I don't think I've ever made the same joke twice, you know? Like, I probably use the same clip maybe for like two different like contexts, but I don't know if I've ever like did the same joke twice.
We keep it fresh. We keep it fresh over here.
Exactly. Exactly.
So like, have you ever gotten any interaction from like Nets players?
Yeah. So the person who, Dinwiddie will like it if I do Dinwiddie highlights. So if I post Dinwiddie highlights, he'll like it. There was a time like when the game that we beat the Lakers, I probably tweeted like his game winner over the Lakers like five times just because I wanted him to keep like I just wanted to see him in like my notifications tab. The person who consistently shows love, I would say, or at least most consistently, is Chioza. Chioza loves, for whatever reason, he'll always like stuff, especially if like he's mentioned and things. That's why like a lot of like the videos, if you go back and look, like I know a lot of people's favorite is the one with like Kevin Durant when they're in like the Olympic games, and then like the guy comes bursting through and it's like fully, and it's Kevin Durant, but it actually is Chris Chioza. That's one is something that Chioza I think liked at the time. I'm trying to think who else. So Jared Allen has been liking things now that he's on the Cavs. So, you know, I don't know what that means, but I guess maybe because now he's off the team, but he's been liking stuff, especially stuff from these last couple games. As a member of the Cavs.
That's
but
so
other than that, you know. Yeah.
He only started liking as soon as he left.
I know. Well, when I posted that thing where I was like, it was the Michael Jordan meme, it was with Jared Allen. He liked that. Because I think, unfortunately, it breaks my heart, but I think it was true. You know, it's like Michael Jordan, like, I took it personally, and he liked it. I think he did take it personally.
Oh, 100%.
So, yeah. And then other than that, though, but I will say probably the coolest people from the Nets organization has been their social team. You know, like Jordan and Jess and all those guys who, you know, work for the Nets social team, they'll always show love with either like or retweet, or they'll comment on things. So they've really been. And then I can never forget in like the one episode of The Bridge, I think they referenced my account. I don't know. I never like to assume that when people reference SpongeBob, they're referencing me. You know what I mean? Just because like, you know, I know, I'm like, am I really like, you know, do I have that big of ego that I think every SpongeBob reference, I'm like, oh well, I invented SpongeBob references, so they must be referencing me. But no, but I don't know, they did like a time card in one of the Bridge episodes, and people were like, they're definitely referencing you. So I don't know if they did, that's like obviously incredible and amazing and cool, but I don't know, I'm not willing to go there yet.
We were just talking about Jared Allen, and I saw, like, I was checking out your personal Twitter, and I feel like you're a big MCU/Star Wars fan. And
oh,
so,
yeah. Oh, dude, I'm such a nerd.
100%. I'm with you. 100%, bro. And so we were just talking about Jared Allen, and you posted like the Thanos tossing Gamora off the cliff. Like, I'm sorry, little one. And so that was a gem right there. But would you ever consider doing like a MCU depicted as SpongeBob, or like a Star Wars depicted as SpongeBob? Because I know you said you did The Office. So like,
yeah. So I'll tell you what, I think a lot of it is, you know, there's got to be a lot of, and it may not seem like it, but like a lot of planning goes into it. Like probably more planning than there should be. So like, I really wanted to do like one day last season, I think over the off season or during quarantine, I think, just to like break it up a little bit, I did like one day where it was just, we're going to go back and like do clips from The Office. And I just made like a couple of like little videos, you know, using scenes from The Office, and everyone loved that. And everyone's like, you should do like another one of those. And the next one that I do is definitely going to be either Star Wars or Marvel, but it's just so hard because like, it's a lot of like fighting scenes, and like it's hard to do like a video for like an 8 minute like fighting scene, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like at least like a TV show, or like at least even like a cartoon is so much easier because nobody's moving, it's like quick little like jokes, you know what I mean? But for Marvel and Star Wars, like I don't know, like I'd have to do like a whole like lightsaber battle, you know what I mean? And it's like Kyrie versus like the Boston media, you know what I mean? Like something like crazy like that. So
especially because SpongeBob has so many more episodes and like available memes as opposed to MCU stuff and like The Office, that SpongeBob has infinite stuff you can use. So it's definitely going to be like easier to run out of content if you do the other stuff.
Yeah, no, 100%. I know the one thing though, that I have in my mind, I just have to find the YouTube clip of it that if I ever do a Marvel thing, the one thing, this is really the thing that I'm like, all right, like I almost want to do a Marvel day just so I can use that clip. It's like of the beginning of Infinity War where Thanos is like killing everybody on Thor's ship. And Loki like looks at Thor and Loki's like, I promise you, brother, like the sun will shine on us again. I want to do that for like Luis Scola, who's like, if they win, they'll get anyone that they want.
Nah, that would be perfect, bro. Now you have to do it. Since you already
played it,
you have to do it. Now.
Like five videos, I'll do it.
So obviously your Nets is depicted by SpongeBob account is popping, but that's not the only fire Twitter account you have. The Big Three News Twitter account they are also the founder of.
Yeah.
And I was actually I've watched some Big Three games and I enjoy watching them when they're on, but I was looking at the stats. I didn't realize how good Joe Johnson is for the Big Three. Do you think he could make an NBA return at some point, or you think he's definitely done?
Oh, dude, Joe Johnson, when so it's funny, right? So when people think of me, I don't think people realize, a lot of people follow both of those accounts, but I don't think they realize that I'm the same person. But no, Joe Johnson, when he was in the Big Three, man, he like, it looked like a man amongst boys, you know, and those are all professional NBA players. I mean, he just completely just lit that league up. I mean, he was just on another level and he got a shot with the Detroit Pistons. And I was really confident that he was going to, but then in preseason, if you saw the way that Christian Wood was playing, and then we all know what Christian Wood became into.
Yeah.
The last roster spot was basically between Joe Johnson and Christian Wood. And I'm like, yeah, he's not going to get there.
That's a tough battle.
Yeah, it's tough. And then, but he balled down the TBT and, you know, I'm excited to see him return hopefully this summer to the Big Three. I think he's going to. But yeah, now listen, I will always be a big proponent of bringing ISO Joe back to the Nets, you know, especially the way this roster is constructed. I think we could use some scoring off the bench. But, you know, I won't be upset if Joe is back in the Big Three as well.
So, like, what kind of made you, like, kind of get into the whole Big Three Twitter news and kind of pivot to that realm of basketball?
Yeah, so it's funny, right? So, I guess – so my long-term goal with all of this is that hopefully one day, like, you'll look at me, right? And, like, instead of my Twitter bio saying, like, oh, Nets depiction and Big Three News and all that, I'm running the social media for an NBA team or a professional team somewhere, right? Like
what got you.
Jordan does with the Nets, you know, I would love to one day do that position for somebody. Like, that's the goal. So, you know, I basically decided that in – you know, when I was around a freshman in college. And at the time, you know, I was just, you know, reaching out to all these teams and I'm like, let me work for you guys. Let me work on your socials or whatever. And I wasn't really getting anywhere or I wasn't getting anywhere that I felt I needed to be. So I'm like, all right, well, if I can't, you know, find any opportunities, I can either sit here and just wait and say to myself, well, once I get the opportunity, I'll prove myself, or I can make the opportunity myself. Excuse me. So what I did was basically what I wanted to do was make an NBA account, like, you know, NBA Legion or yeah. NBA Central, like retweet NBA. But like, I just feel like, you know, from that perspective, you know, I feel like everyone and their mother has like an NBA account. So I was like, all right, well, what am I going to do? And then around the time the Big Three was coming out and they were just announcing like sort of, you know, what the players are going to look like and what the league is really going to be all about. So I was interested in it because, you know, I love basketball. And so I was definitely going to check it out. And I said, well, you know, nobody's really covering this thing. You know, nobody's really making an account about this or doing or sharing, creating content on this. Mm-hmm. So I said, all right, well, if nobody's going to do it, I'm going to be that guy. And it's a much less diluted space. And so I started doing that in 2017. And then since then it's just grown, you know, it's become a much larger part of my life than I really thought it would ever be. You know, I basically thought maybe it would be like a burner Twitter account at some point, but it really has become something that like I wake up every day and I dedicate like a considerable amount of time to like figuring out, you know, all right, how are we going to make this the best it can be? And then, my friend Anthony and I joined his podcast a couple of years ago, and we've gotten the opportunity to like meet like a ton of players and like, you know, do stuff through there, and just guys that I never thought I would have the opportunity to meet, you know, which is crazy. Like this, like, I don't mean to name drop, but like this morning, like I was like DMing back and forth with like Mo Spates and like,
that's crazy.
Yeah. Like, and like Joe Johnson, like comments on like my Instagram all the time. And like, I've talked to him on one or two occasions. So it's just like, it's almost like weird. You know what I mean? Because like, mm-hmm. I really don't see myself as like, you know, anything like crazy, you know, but like the fact that like I get to like wake up and like talk to these players, like literally like 16-year-old me would be like, oh my, like in like awe. Yeah. You know, and so I'm just, you know, I got a long ways to go about, you know, hopefully turning it into a career and, you know, making a profession out of it. But I, you know, I can't understate just how far this thing has come and, you know, all the things I've been blessed to do with it.
No. Do you have a favorite big three team or player? I mean, other than Joe Johnson?
Yeah. I mean, Joe, you know, when Joe Johnson was joining, just as someone who's been a Nets fan, right, I was so happy to see him. But, you know, I will say, just from someone who's watched the big three from the beginning, I would say, you know, that that power team in 2018 that won the championship might have to be my favorite, just because of the way that I think, like, they hired Nancy Lieberman as a coach, right? And then she was the first female coach, and she ends up being the first female head coach to win a champion, win a men's pro championship, win coach of the year in a men's league. So that, all that was obviously very inspiring, but, you know, it wasn't just like a publicity stunt for them, right? Like to name her coach of the year or anything like that. Like, she had those guys playing incredibly hard, and just the game plans, the stuff that they would use, like they were the first big three team to really like run a set offense and mm-hmm. run plays and have set rotations and things like that. And they weren't just like a bunch of guys going out and hooping.
Yeah. At the beginning, it seemed like a lot of isolation mm-hmm. ball contested shots before it really developed.
Yeah, no, exactly. And Nancy Lieberman sort of came in and was like, yeah, no, like she really set the bar for what a big three team needs to do to be successful. And she really helped lay the foundation and sort of give the big three some legitimacy, at least from a basketball fan's perspective, because you watched it and it wasn't just like, you know, it wasn't just like a rec league. It was like something like, all right, wow, yeah, these guys are definitely like going all in. And this plan, you can tell, is like meticulously crafted. So I would say probably that team, my favorite team.
The fact that you, shout out to you for having two really successful Twitter accounts. So if any NBA teams are listening to this pod, which they of course are, make sure you hire my boy Will right here.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, I mean, that's definitely the goal. And, you know, I'm hoping that I'm fortunate enough one day that an organization, you know, takes a look at me and they, you know, they think that it's successful enough. You know, I know I'm certainly not the biggest Twitter account out there, but I hope that, you know, the goal is to create content that's unique enough that people enjoy it, you know, and that mm-hmm. it sets me apart from other people. But yeah, you know, I appreciate you saying that.
No, for sure, bro. Now we kind of want to pivot to the Nets talk. So obviously the biggest thing in Nets news right now, pretty much NBA news, is the new big three in town. So like, what were your initial thoughts when you saw the Nets picked up Harden?
Well, first of all, can I just say, you know, from everything that we've been talking about thus far, do you know how confusing it's been for me? So now I hear everybody on my timeline talking about the big three, and I'm like, oh my God, we made it. And I'm like, oh, they're talking about KD, Kyrie, and Harden. But I'm like, but that's cool too, you know, like it's really a win-win situation. But, you know, can we maybe give them another nickname, just, you know, for my sake? But, you know, honestly, my first reaction was this, you know, I think it's a superstar league, you know. And so if we were able to get Harden, I was really happy that we were, because I think at the end of the day, our chances of winning a championship definitely increase with him on the team. I just wish, it's just such a punch in the gut that we got rid of Allen, because we're going to have to watch him, you know, probably end up being a multi-time all-star for another team. And that's just such a punch in the gut.
Yeah, no, I was just about to ask you, like, was it sad? Like, were you sad to see Karis and Jared Allen go? Because those are kind of the guys that you made it out the mud with. Like, they were back when we were down bad. The Nets were not really doing much of anything. They were the guys that we kind of hung our hat on. So, like, to see them go right before we're about to reach the promised land is tough.
Yeah, definitely. And I would say that, you know, I'm definitely happy for Karis. Jared Allen was going to be, you know, great on this team either way. Karis LeVert, I always had a question about his fit, you know, just because, and I love him as a person. I love him as a player. You know, I mean, how many times do you draft a guy in a major market team like Brooklyn and you don't hear anything about him except that he's an adamant professional and a great person, you know? And I mean, we've given him so many roles over the years. Like, it was, okay, you're going to be the face of the team. Actually, no, you're going to be the running mate next to D'Lo. Actually, no, now you're going to be the third piece next to Kyrie and KD. Actually, now we want you to be sixth man of the year. And he's just like, yeah, okay, like, not a problem. Like, I'll do whatever you need me to do. So in a way, I'm almost happy that now he can go to a place like Indiana where they're going to love him in Indiana. He's going to ball out. He's going to do incredible for them. And, you know, I hope, you know, for him, I hope that one day they're hanging his jerseys in the rafters in Indiana, you know. That's what I want to see for him.
I definitely think he's going to ball out in Indy, because I just think it's like, this is his time. Once he gets back from like the mass on his kidney and everything, hopefully he makes 100% full recovery, but I definitely think he's going to kill out in for the Pacers.
And him and Brogdon is actually like a pretty scary backcourt there. That's going to be a high scoring, fairly efficient, defensive minded backcourt also. And then they have Turner and Sabonis. The team's going to be pretty scary when they're fully healthy.
Yeah, no, definitely. And that's a good thing too. I'm happy that Karis is sort of going to a ready-made situation. Where, like, exactly. He can go there, and as soon as he gets healthy, he can start winning games. You know, Jared Allen, maybe they're in, you know, the final stages of that rebuild. You know, it's been very accelerated in Cleveland, especially over the last few months, just because of the leap that Sexton and Garland have taken. I mean, we saw that firsthand.
Oh, man.
But I'm excited for both of them. I mean, I hate to say it, but it sucks that they're in the East.
Yeah,
I know.
You know, but I'm excited for both of them. I mean, I'm going to be fans of those two individuals, you know, for their entire careers.
I was just upset for Allen that he got moved to another backup role. I'm really hoping that Drummond gets moved, actually, to a contender that needs a center, so it opens it up for Allen, because he could really be like a 20-10 guy every night if he gets the minutes for them.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, even when we – I mean, it's a very small sample size, but Allen almost looked like he fit that offense better than Drummond. You know, I mean, Drummond, don't get me wrong, Drummond is probably a better center at this point in his career, but just the way that Allen can go out and sort of guard the perimeter, and especially just the ways they were using him with the pick and roll with Sexton, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if either Drummond gets moved or they brought in Allen so that they don't have to re-sign Drummond this offseason.
It does suck that both of them got moved to Eastern Conference teams, because I just can't imagine, like, say the Nets match with the Pacers in a playoff series and Karis just hits like a dagger heartbreaker. I wouldn't be able to stomach it, to be honest.
No, neither would I. I mean, I hate to say it, but we have, I don't want to say we have so many, like, I don't want to say we have enemies, because I don't think anyone harbors any ill will. But, like, I'll give you an example, right? So, like, I was playing 2K the other day, and I was simulating, like, the season. And
that's crazy.
We lost. Well, we
one of those every year.
We really? Were just about to do oh, that, God. Yeah.
In the one that I mean, I'll do, like, 20, right? But, like, in the one that we did, we lost to – this is, shows you how good 2K is – but we lost to the Timberwolves in the finals.
Oh.
And I was like, I'll be honest with you. Like, if we lose the D'Lo in the finals, I don't know what I can do. Like, I don't know what I do after that. Like, I don't know where I go from there. Like,
oh, my.
I might have to hang it up. Like, I don't know, man.
2K always gives you the most ridiculous scenarios. But, no, if the Nets lost to D'Lo in the finals, I wouldn't be – little known secret, D'Lo is my favorite NBA player. So I'm already like, if he was to just end us like that, it would be over for me.
Biased towards D'Lo, like ridiculously biased towards D'Lo. Like, for years, he's been arguing with people that D'Lo was better than than guys like.
Oh, now you're trying to expose me. I don't quite like this.
Like all of these plays so unfairly biased towards D'Lo. Like I love the guy when he was here too. He loves him too much.
You know, you gotta ride for your favorite players, man. That's all I'm gonna say. But no, yeah, we do a 2K simulation every year, bro. Like, and then like kind of break it down on the podcast. Do it last year. We did like a write up on it. It's one of the most fun things you can do, just to see the type of stuff that 2K comes up with.
Oh, it's so fun. And one of the things that I did, I mean, you guys can do this as well. You know, absolutely take this. But one of the things I really like to do was during quarantine, and this was during like the March quarantine, where like really like nobody was like seeing each other. You know what I mean? Was I took all my friends and I made like a draft class of like just my friends, and we like simulated our careers in like the NBA. So we saw like who made All-Star games,
who got cut,
you know, yeah, like who won a ring. So that was really cool. That was something, and I would love to do that again, to be honest with you. And I think if I do it again, I might have to end up doing it with like Nets Twitter guys.
I was just about to say that.
But I love the 2K, the My League and all that stuff.
Did you give your friends like any like realistic ratings? Were you got like what overalls were you guys?
Yeah, so what we did was, so I asked them, I was just like, give me like a, because you know, if we were all in the NBA, we wouldn't be in the NBA, right? Like, if we all tried out. So I was like, okay, like give me a realistic player comp. So like people were like, oh, like, you know, I think my player comp, like you can do like the player DNA.
Yeah.
So I gave myself like 40 year, like geriatric Dirk player DNA. So like I just did that. And then I think I gave everyone like a 90, like, what's the word? Like 90, like youth, what do they call it? Like potential.
Like potential? Yeah.
Yeah. So just so we would all be decent overalls. And then people were like, oh, give me like, I forget what, like somebody was like Dennis Schroeder. Somebody wanted to be like Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf. So I'm like, all right, sure. And then like I went in and I just like, I fixed it like a little bit. So like if Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf had like a 99.3 and I'm like, this guy doesn't even shoot when we're out, you know what I mean? In the backyard, I'll like lower that a little bit. So it was a little custom, but it was mostly like the player DNA that they chose, but it was really fun just to see like what happened.
Yeah, no, that's like, I definitely have to do that with our friends, because we consistently in PlayStation parties talk crap. So we have to put ourselves through an NBA simulation. Like, it just has to happen.
Yeah, it's so much fun too, especially because you see, because there's always like, look, for me, like, one of the funnest things that you do in like the beginning with the draft, it's like we did the draft and we did it like slowly to see like where everybody goes.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept on getting drafted by the Cavs, who just like refused to play me. So like the fifth time that we did it, like the Cavs picked and they picked me, and I was like, what is going on? Like why do I keep on going to Cleveland?
Did you make any All-Star games, win any chips?
No, I didn't. So the only one, so one of my one friend, the one who wanted me to be Mahmoud on the roof, he ended up being basically like Kyrie. Like he was like captain of the All-Star game every year. Like he was like, he ended up being like a 90 something overall. Which was funny because like he didn't have like the best player DNA. So I don't know how that ended up happening. I guess just because like, I think he was on the Wizards. So I think the Wizards moved John Wall and then they basically did like the Westbrook move, but like for him. So he ended up being like very well, but he never won a chip. And then the only one who I think ended up winning a championship was like my one friend who was like a 75 overall on like the Hawks bench. So he was basically just like Dion Waitering. Like waitering it,
gotcha.
His entire career. Yeah. So it was just funny to see that type of stuff. And then like there would be like rivalries, like somebody would knock somebody else out in like the playoffs, like the Western Conference Finals, you know.
Uh-huh.
And we'd be like looking at the stats going head to head, and it would just be like cool.
You know, that's definitely on my list of must do's now that you said it. Yeah, getting back to the Nets, kind of. So obviously the Nets, the buyout market is going to be big for them. Is there anyone you'd like to see that isn't bought out now? Like top three realistic buyout guys you'd like to see get bought out in the Nets sign?
And when you think about that, do you think the player will have to fit in with like the veteran and now villain of the league culture that the Nets now have, because everyone is going to try and top them? So do you think they're going to have to go for like a veteran guy that can take all the spotlight and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're going to have to go for somebody who realistically has either won a championship before or has played with these guys. So like a guy that I think of immediately off the bat, and I saw there were like rumors today, was JaVale McGee.
Yeah.
I mean, this, right? This is someone who's played.
I've reported that they're going to go after him. So it makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, I think he fits well. I think he's somebody that has played on championship teams before. You know, he's already familiar with KD. So I think he's the guy that makes the most sense to go out and get. I mean, to be honest with you, we just need, you know, we need defenders. We need guys who are going to hustle. You know, I mean, we saw guys on the Lakers last year. The Lakers weren't the greatest team I've ever seen in my life last year. And same thing with the Heat, but they hustled and they played defense. And those are two things right now that, you know, we could get over time, but we're lacking. So we need people who are going to go in and like dive for the loose balls and make the 50-50 plays. So a guy like JaVale McGee, I think, is good. I mean, I don't know if he's going to be bought out, but I would love to see like a PJ Tucker, you know. Ooh. That I thought when I saw the trade for Harden immediately, I thought we were getting, because they were like, this is like the outline of the trade. And that was before we knew like who was involved or who was going where. And I thought, I'm like, all right, I see this trade. I see how much we've given up. We must have gotten like a PJ Tucker, like even like a Miles Turner in return. And then when we didn't, I was like surprised. I was like, oh, like, because now we have like a pretty huge gap. And I mean, so Bam Adebayo dropped what, like 40 points on us?
Yeah, he had 40 last night. Crazy.
Yeah. So, I mean, my God, like we just need someone. We need someone fast. And I hope this guy Norval can provide a little bit of assistance. But we need some rim protectors. You know, so I look at a JaVale. I look at a PJ Tucker. I mean, who else is out there, man? I don't know.
I mean, for
we had Billy Reinhart on the pod, and he mentioned someone that we didn't even think about. He mentioned Trevor Ariza, who's
Yeah, that was a gem. When he said that, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, I didn't even realize that he wasn't playing, that he was on the Thunder. I completely forgot he was in the league before he mentioned him.
That would be perfect. And you, he already has a relationship with Harden. And to be honest with you, if you're like, you know, Kyrie, I don't know if Kyrie has a relationship with any of these guys, right? Like, I feel like most of the people are either going to come from KD or they're going to come from Harden.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if you look at Kyrie's teams, it was all those Cavs teams where most of the guys are retired. I mean, you know, the guy who Kyrie would probably would want to bring in is Richard Jefferson, who's commentating our games. you know, he fits that role for us. I mean, but KD, you know, Jeff Green is obviously, he came in to play with this guy, KD, again. And then I think if you're Harden, you're like, all right, Harden, like, we brought you here. Like, now you got to, like, you know, like who's your plus one? You know what I mean? Like uh-huh. Who are you bringing to the barbecue? You know what I mean? So I think a PJ Tucker, a Trevor Ariza, somebody like that, you know, somebody that's going to get some stops.
Someone that I keep kind of campaigning for, because the Nets need size and they need a big that can shoot. I'm down with Dwayne Dedmon, but I feel like he should, like, there's something behind the scenes going on, because he's not bad enough to not be signed. So I feel like maybe there's something behind the scenes there. But Ersan Ilyasova, he can stretch the floor. He's a big, like, the Nets don't really have any bigs that can shoot. If you look at someone like DeAndre Jordan, or like we just signed Norvell Pell, or even if we got JaVale McGee, like, they're all kind of the same architect type of guy. Archetype. And so, yeah, like, so a big that can stretch the floor would kind of be someone that I would want, like Ersan Ilyasova, maybe a Dwayne Dedmon, yeah, someone like that.
Yeah, I mean, you're making sense, you know, absolutely somebody like that. And I agree with you, because I feel like when that second unit comes in, you know, you need to stretch the floor more. And you look at guys, I mean, Jeff Green has become one of our more reliable shooters, which is something I don't think anybody saw coming. But I mean, if TLC isn't going to hit his shots, if Shamit isn't going to hit his shots, then you're right. I mean, these guys were brought in to stretch out the floor to make it easier for our stars to drive in or, you know, catch and shoot from them. So if they're not going to do that, you're right. I agree with you. The big needs to be able to do that.
And so, yeah, that I 100% agree. I feel like Jeff Green has really taken a super huge step for us. I saw some stat the other day. He's shooting like the sixth highest 3-point percentage in the league.
That's like, crazy.
I know, like, it's crazy. He's really just become something that we need very much so. And so, yeah, we're going to wrap things up here. But before we go, me and Hunter do this thing every episode where I give him a letter at the end of the episode. I kind of just look around for random things in my room and give him a letter. And he gives me the first NBA player that comes to his mind.
And it could be past or present. Like the other day he said G and I went George Gervin.
Okay.
So it can be absolutely random
player that comes to mind.
Okay.
100%.
So I'm going to be first name or last name.
See, that's what we teeter on, but we're going to go with the first name for today. So yeah, I give you the letter. You say someone whose first name starts with that letter. So it's going to go for, I'm going to give you guys actually two different letters. So we're going to switch it up here. So Hunter, since you're obviously my co-host, you got to go first. I'm going to give you, what can I look around in my room? All right, I'm going to give you H.
H.
Yeah, that's okay. Tough. That's tough.
Yeah, because there's see, when I think H, I immediately think of my own name. So you say, there's no Hunter in the league. That's first name, unless I'm going DeAndre Hunter. But now I got to think first name.
I got somebody. I can't believe you didn't think of this, actually.
What? Oh, okay. I have it too.
I have one too, yeah.
Well, why am I struggling so
are
much?
You, this is you're the first really, time you're ever- really embarrassing us here, Hunter, in front of our guest.
This is the first time it's ever taken me this long.
I'm just going to go ahead and say mine. Mine was Hakeem. I thought of Hakeem Olajuwon.
Oh,
that,
okay.
My guy.
That's good. How about you give me a note?
Will, who is yours?
Well, I don't want to steal it from Hunter. Because I feel like there's a limited quantity.
I'm going to give him a new letter because he's clearly struggling here. Okay. So
not good for me.
I was going to say Harrison Barnes.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. All right, let me look around my room. I want to give you W, but I feel like that's difficult too. So let's just go with C.
C? Oh, man. How did I know you were going to give me C, bro? No funny.
Yeah, I was...
We were just talking about him.
Yeah, Christian Wood was the guy that came to my mind too.
Wood, yeah. I thought of Colin Sexton.
Oh, see, there we go. See, there's so many possibilities with this thing.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Now I'll give the letter to Will. P.
P. Ooh. Well, I mean, off the bat, I think PJ Tucker.
I thought Patty Mills.
Ooh, Patty Mills. I'm trying to think, though. Let me think of, like, a fun one. I'm trying to think.
You go Patrick Precious Beverly. Ooh, that's the...
Yeah.
That's the perfect one to end the episode off with. And so, with that... I appreciate you guys for listening to the Hoopball Nets podcast. Thank you, Will. Tell everyone where they can find you on Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple places at this point. But basically, for all the Nets stuff, this is the Hoopball Nets podcast. So if you're listening, I'm assuming you're a Nets fan. You can follow me at Nets Depiction, for all the SpongeBob memes and all that fun stuff. If you're interested in the Big Three, it's Big Three News, BIG3N3WS. That's on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, all that fun stuff. And then, if I didn't annoy you enough, if you'd like to continue hearing my voice, I do a podcast. It's the Fourth Man Podcast. We're on all those platforms where you listen. So I appreciate you guys having me on, Najee, Hunter. Thank you guys. I appreciate it. And I look forward to doing this again sometime.
Yeah, 100%, bro. We got to have you back on a super fun episode. We hope you guys enjoyed. You can subscribe to the Hoopball Nets podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, everywhere you basically listen to podcasts. We'll be there. Leave a rating and review. Download the pod. Share it with your friends. You can follow me on Twitter at Najee_Adams_. Hunter is Hunter_JKR on Twitter. And the pod is at Hoopball Nets. We hope you guys enjoyed. Thank you again to Will for coming on the pod. And we will talk to you guys later.
This has been a Hoopball presentation.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.